Hi there, this is John from freegiftfromgod.com podcast. I'd like to continue on today with the last of the foundation teachings, which is eternal judgment. The objectives of this session are to try and gain some insight into what the criteria of judgment will be so that we can learn what to do and what is right. And also, we need to see what the Bible says about eternal judgment and how we can be judged worthy to enter God's kingdom. So in overview, this is the last of the foundation teachings from Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. And here we see what will be in the very last days when the whole world is judged as either being acceptable to God or not. Every person that's ever lived on this earth will go into judgment, and there will be no escape. What is important for us is to learn what we must do or what we must avoid doing to improve our chance of entering into God's eternal kingdom with Jesus Christ. So the first scripture I want to look at is over in Matthew chapter 25, and I'm reading from verses 31 to 46. It goes like this. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep at his right hand with the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, Come, O blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see thee hungry and feed thee, or thirsty and give thee drink? And when did we see thee a stranger and welcome thee, or naked and clothe thee? And when did we see thee sick or in prison and visit thee? And the king will answer them, Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me. Then he will say to those at his left hand, Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick, and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer, Lord, when did we see thee hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister to thee? And then he will answer them, Truly I say to you, as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. And they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. When you read this section of Scripture, you see the process of the judgment of God. The Lord will separate people into two groups, those who did what was right in his sight and those who did not. What he says will be the criteria for this judgment is those who served and provided for the people of the Lord will be accepted. But those who did not minister to God's people will not be accepted. Verse 40 states it well by saying, And the king will answer them, Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. And verse 45, which says the reverse, it says, Those who did not minister to the people of the Lord and did not do it to God will be rejected. So we have here, one of the criterias is going to be the actions and behaviours of people as to whether they will be accepted or not. If they are acting in a manner that is showing the love of God, then they will be accepted. Because this is really what these things are that he's saying. The ones who are righteous, who did the right things, who helped and ministered and fed and clothed and all of those things, they were showing the love of God, the active love of God towards these people. Those who didn't will be rejected. So it's important that we know that our actions in relation to the people of the Lord are considered when we come to the last judgment. And these will be a big part of God's decision making. The second scripture that I want to look at is over in Romans chapter 2, and I'm going to read from verses 1 to 11. Therefore you have no excuse, O man, whoever you are, when you judge another. For in passing judgment upon him you condemn yourself, because you, the judge, are doing the very same things. We know that the judgment of God rightly falls upon those who do such things. Do you suppose, O man, that when you judge those who do such things and yet do them yourself, you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you presume upon the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience? Do you not know that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? But by your hard and impenitent heart You are storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. For he will render to every man according to his works. To those who by patience in well-doing seek for glory and honour and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are factious and do not obey the truth, but obey wickedness, there will be wrath and fury. There will be tribulation and distress for every human being who does evil, the Jew first and also the Greek. But glory and honour and peace for everyone who does good, the Jew first and also the Greek. For God shows no partiality. Now, we should understand that when he's talking about Jews and Greeks, we don't tend to think about it. I mean, he's talking about Jews and Gentiles. And today we would probably talk about the people of the Lord and the people of the world if we were to write these same verses again today. But what we see here is it's not our place to judge others or even to judge ourselves for that matter. Judgment is in the hands of God. But what we must remember is that the grace and the kindness of God is meant to lead us to repentance. He wants us to turn around. He wants us to turn away from the evil ways of this world and to do what's right. Those who choose to continue to be unrepentant and continue to do what is wrong will be judged accordingly. All people who have ever lived will be judged by what they have done and how they have behaved. So do right and receive life and immortality. But do wrong, and death awaits permanently. This is the eternal judgment that awaits all of mankind, and no one will escape God's righteous judgment. He will prevail, and his will shall be done. The next scripture I want to look at is in Jude chapter 1, verses 5 to 7. Now I desire to remind you, though you are once for all fully informed, that he who saved a people out of the land of Egypt afterward destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels that did not keep their own position but left their proper dwelling have been kept by him in eternal chains in the nether gloom until the judgment of the great day. Just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding cities, which likewise acted immorally and indulged in unnatural lust, served an example by undergoing a punishment of eternal fire. Look at the example of the children of Israel who left Egypt to come into the promised land. This is an allegory, and it shows God's eternal judgment that will come upon all mankind. Of the many thousands who left Egypt, and there were hundreds of thousands who left Egypt, only two men went into the promised land. That was Caleb and Joshua. All of the rest died as they wandered the wilderness for 40 years. They failed to enter the promised land because they did not believe God, and they constantly turned away from him and did evil. They grumbled against Moses, they grumbled against God, they made idols. And that's the reason why they were judged and they did not come into the promised land. It's the same for us today. Those who do what is right and who have faith in Jesus Christ will enter the real promised land, the kingdom of God amongst men, promised to those who follow him. But all others will suffer the eternal judgment of fire and be cast out. And so we see the example there of the children of Israel who came out of Egypt being an example for us, because those who turned away from God on the march out of Egypt did not make it into the promised land. And it was the vast majority of them, all of them apart from two men who lived to see the promised land, who had left Egypt and saw the promised land. So the next scripture that I want to look at is over in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 17 to 19, and this is what it says. For the time has come for judgment to begin with the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if the righteous man is scarcely saved, where will the impious and sinner appear? Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will do right and entrust their souls to a faithful Creator. What we're seeing here is that the judgment has already begun. We who have come to Christ are already being judged by God to determine if we are worthy to enter his kingdom. And you'll see a little bit more about this in one of the scriptures yet to come. The scripture tells us here that even the righteous will be scarcely saved. Scarcely saved. This is how important it is for us to make certain of our faith and to understand the way of truth that is in Jesus Christ. So check everything that you hear to ensure that it is in line with the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Half-truths and lies in what you believe must be rooted out and cast away from you so that you find and hold to the truth. The sorry part of this is that If the righteous people are scarcely saved, then what's the hope for sinners? This world is without hope unless they turn to Jesus Christ. They have the same hope as we do, as Christians do, and if they reject that hope, then they will be rejected. The next scripture I want to have a look at is in Matthew chapter 12, verses 33 to 37. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. The good man out of his good treasure brings forth good. The evil man out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, men will render account for every careless word they utter. For by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned. Here now we see another level of judgment that will come upon all mankind. We will be held accountable for every careless word we utter. And as James tells us in his letter, the tongue is an untamed fire. When we come to Christ, we come to repentance and a desire to be turned around. Our desire as Christians is to turn from the evil in the world and to turn to the truth in Jesus Christ. It's the work of the Holy Spirit in us to make this change take place. It's his work to create in us a new heart so that the fruit, that is, our words and actions, will be good and will align with our heart. All people can be known by their speech and behaviours, for these things show up the intentions of their heart. So seek the truth in Jesus Christ and learn his ways so that the Holy Spirit can use this insight to work the change in you so you are not condemned with the world. The next scripture is in John chapter 5. Reading from verses 22 to 28, and this is what it says. The Father judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son, that all may honour the Son, even as they honour the Father. He who does not honour the Son does not honour the Father who sent him. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. Truly, truly, I say to you, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice. Going on from what I mentioned earlier about how the judgment has already begun with us, this is an indication of the judgment and how it is already commencing with us. All judgment's been given by the Father to the Son. Jesus is the one who will judge the world. So all who listen to Jesus' words and do them will be judged worthy of life with him. They will not have to go through the final judgment that is coming on the whole world, but they'll pass directly into eternal life, as this scripture tells us. The time is coming when all the dead will be raised, some to life, others to eternal damnation in the lake of fire. So it's critical that you take action now to listen to Jesus, believe in his words, and bear the fruit of righteousness in your life. The next scripture I'm going to look at is over in 2 Peter chapter 2, and I'm going to read from verses 4 to 11. For if God did not spare the angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them to pits of nether gloom, to be kept until the judgment, if he did not spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah, a herald of righteousness, with seven other persons, when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly, if by turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to ashes, he condemned them to extinction and made them an example to those who were to be ungodly, and if he rescued righteous Lot, greatly distressed by the licentiousness of the wicked, for by what that righteous man saw and heard as he lived among them, he was vexed in his righteous soul day after day with their lawless deeds. Then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trial and to keep the unrighteous under punishment until the day of judgment, and especially those who indulge in the lust of defiling passion and despise authority. Bold and willful, they are not afraid to revile the glorious ones, whereas angels, though greater in might and power, do not pronounce a reviling judgment upon them before the Lord. One thing we need to remember here is that God will protect those who come to him. He will keep you and save you while you seek him out and believe in Jesus Christ. And likewise, he will judge those who choose to disobey and do evil and will keep them under punishment and under judgment until the last day. He gives us a further tip regarding the judgment of the wicked. He singles out those who indulge in the lust of defiling passion and despise authority. Now, this is useful to us. What he is speaking of is those who let the lusts and the passions and desires of the flesh to rule them, and those who despise the authority of God, and say, he's saying that these people will be rejected. So for those who want to escape the judgment of God, these are good indicators of what to avoid. And as we learn how to walk in the Spirit, we can overcome the lust of the flesh and walk in obedience to God in humility. If you're unfamiliar with walking in the Spirit, I have spoken about it on this podcast previously. I've also written many things about it on my website, in my blog on the Free Gift from God, so you can go there and do a search on walking in the Spirit. But this is very important. Walking in the Spirit is very important because this is the process by which we gain control over the passions and the lusts and the desires of our nature. And if anyone happens to remember the comedian many, many years ago, Flip Wilson, his name was, he used to have a saying where he said, "The devil made me do it." Well, most of the time it wasn't the devil making him do it. It was his own passions, lusts and desires that caused him to do the wrong thing, to do what was wrong, to do what was evil. Now, he did it in a comedy routine, but in truth, the passions, lusts and desires are nothing to laugh about. And it's the work of the Holy Spirit in us to take away those things, to give us the ability to be able to have control over those things so that we can walk in accordance with the will of God. The next scripture I'm going to have a look at is looking at the final judgment itself. And I'm going to go over into Revelation chapter 20, and I'm going to read from verse 4 down to verse 15. "Then I saw thrones, and seated on them were those to whom judgment was committed. Also I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their testimony to Jesus and for the word of God, and who had not worshipped the beast or its image and had not received its mark on their foreheads or their hands. They came to life and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. The rest of the dead did not come to life until 1,000 years were ended. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who shares in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and they shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when 1,000 years are ended, Satan will be loosed from his prison, and will come out to deceive the nations which are at the four corners of the earth, that is, Gog and Magog, to gather them for battle. Their number is like the sand of the sea. And they marched up over the broad earth and surrounded the camp of the saints in the beloved city. But fire came down from heaven and consumed them. And the devil who had deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulphur, where the beast and the false prophet were. And they will be tormented day and night for ever and ever. And then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat upon it. From his presence earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Also another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books, by what they had done. And the sea gave up the dead in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead in them. And all were judged by what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire." This is the final judgment, when all mankind will be judged. Now those who attain the first resurrection, who are the people of God, which were mentioned earlier, will not go through judgment, because they've already been judged as being worthy of eternal life. But the rest, both living and dead, great and small, will all stand before the throne of God and be judged according to what they have done. So it's important to make sure we do the right thing. The book of life will also be opened, and those whose names are written in it will go into life with the Lord. But those whose names are not in it will go into the spiritual death in the lake of fire with the devil and his demons. There will be no loopholes. There will be no backdoor deals. There will be no advocates, as all that every person has done will be known and will be laid bare. And this will be the basis of the judgment of God. Here is probably the best reason of all to learn what is right and to do it. The final scripture I'm going to read today is in Revelation chapter 21. I'm going to read from verse 1 to 8. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away. And he who sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. Also he said, Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the fountain of the water of life without payment. He who conquers shall have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the polluted, as for murderers, fornicators, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their lot shall be in the lake that burns with fire and sulphur, which is the second death. Finally, this is the reward after the judgment. This chapter of Revelation describes the reward and the city where those who are with Christ will live in the presence of Jesus, and God the Father and all of the angels of God will be there as well. Here there will be no mourning, no sorrow, no sickness, no death. All that's evil in this world will be gone, for there will only be what is good. All things will be made new, and nothing will fade or wear out, unlike at present. But all who have done evil will never make it here. They'll never see this place. All evildoers who do not repent and come to Jesus Christ will never come and never pollute the kingdom of God. This is the reward that awaits the faithful. And this glimpse in this chapter describes only the beginning. It doesn't tell us what life will be like, as that is a blessing that still waits to unfold for those deemed worthy to enter. Make this your aim, to be perfected in Christ Jesus, so that you can be part of the bride of Christ and enter into God's kingdom. So here's a question you ought to consider. Knowing that the judgment begins with God's people now, what must you learn and change or do to aim at being in that first resurrection? As a call to action, I'd recommend you do these things. Read all of Revelation 20 and Revelation 21. Go over all of the scriptures above and read the sections in your Bible to get the fullness of these teachings. Seek how you are to behave and act and learn about walking the Spirit to overcome the passions of the flesh that control your emotions and your tongue. As a prayer point, spend a moment in prayer right now to thank the Lord for his judgment, and that it is he who judges everyone fairly and justly according to their faith and what they do. Be thankful also that you may pass through judgment as you walk more closely with Christ and avoid the end destruction coming upon this evil world. This is the last lesson in the foundation section of this podcast series. It's important that we get a solid foundation to be able to stand and grow in Christ. And I covered these first off, as the next few topics will take a somewhat darker path. In the next few topics, we begin to look at the walk that I call Salvation Road. It takes us through five stages, beginning with man walking in the darkness of sin and how this prevents him from entering into God's kingdom. And after this, we begin to look at how people can then walk in hope, they then walk in faith, they can then walk in the Spirit, and finally, how they can walk in love as they come into the image of Jesus Christ. So the aim of the remainder of these sessions in this Salvation Road series is to show the progression from being a man of sin to a man of God. And these sessions will take some time to complete. At present, I've got around about 40 or 44 sessions to continue on with. And you will find them very interesting because it is a very structured approach. And you'll see that. I'll discuss the approach in the next podcast. So until then, I hope that you've enjoyed this, and I hope that you will stay with me and that you will subscribe to the podcast, and I'll catch you next time. So God bless and have a good week.